The Concept is a supplementary podcast for Political Science 120A, Introduction to International Relations, taught at the University of California, Berkeley. This podcast may be redistributed for non-commercial educational purposes only, and may not be used, sold, or redistributed for any other purpose. For questions about fair use, please contact John Chow at jchow@berkeley.edu. That's jchow@berkeley.edu. You're listening to The Concept. It's Monday, September 12th, 2005. I'm John Chow. Good day and welcome. Today on The Concept, we will look a little more deeply into the nature of international relations theories. Specifically, we'll look at the limitations of theory and a few caveats to remember as we progress through the semester. First off, what is a theory? In a nutshell, a theory is a simplified way of thinking about complicated processes. That doesn't necessarily mean that a theory is the entire answer. If we were to ask the question, why did World War II occur, we could provide both a general answer and a specific answer. A specific answer would probably involve lots of historical facts and might have something of a narrative quality. For instance, Germany and Japan's power was growing. Both countries were driven by nationalist movements. The Treaty of Versailles had attempted to keep Germany weak, but the League of Nations was unable and unwilling to enforce it, and so on and so forth. Ultimately, from studying history, we might be able to understand how World War II began, but this wouldn't get us very far beyond World War II. World War II is just one example of a war. What about others? We would need a generalized explanation for how wars begin. This is where theory comes in. A theory allows us to make sense of complicated processes by distilling them down to their essential parts. For example, in order to explain how a car moves, we don't need to know about the color of the car, or whether it's a four-door sedan, or a two-door coupe, or a station wagon. All we need to know is the process by which the engine drives the wheels. That process applies to all cars. Similarly, if we were to come up with a theory of war that says all wars are caused by an imbalance of power between states, then we wouldn't need to worry about whether the states involved are democracies or dictatorships, or whether they were wealthy or poor. All we would need to know about is whether two given states were balanced or imbalanced in their power. So this leads us to our first point. Theories simplify reality. It's important to remember, though, that theories do not always fully reflect reality. We have to be very careful when using theories because they often focus on one aspect of international politics to the exclusion of other aspects. Returning to our car analogy, just because we have a theory of how the engine drives the car doesn't necessarily mean that the car is actually being driven by the engine. It could be pulled by a tow truck, sliding down a patch of ice, or be pushed by a herd of angry rhinoceros. So how does a theory account for these exceptions? The answer is assumptions. Most theories make assumptions that try to specify when the theory will work and when it will not. For example, you will frequently hear the term rational unitary actor being used to describe a state. It means that we treat the state as a single unit that always acts in its own best interests. This is a simplification because we know that states are not always rational or unitary. States are made up of numerous factions jockeying for power and influence over foreign policy, among other things. For instance, the Democrats may win one election year and implement a certain foreign policy, but 4 years later, a Republican president may sit in the White House and articulate a completely different foreign policy. From the perspective of a foreign observer, the inconsistency may look irrational for the state as a whole, though it might be rational to the Republicans. But if we were to introduce all these factors into a theory of international politics, we would quickly find ourselves dealing with too many moving parts, defeating the whole purpose of having a theory. This is why we make assumptions. They help to simplify the theory, and they help articulate the conditions under which a theory is applicable. So let's go back to our question about World War II and our theory that wars are caused by an imbalance of power. We might just say that World War II occurred because there was an imbalance of power between Germany and its neighbors, Problem solved, right? End of story. But wait a minute. What about the fact that Germany was under Nazi rule? What about the fact that the United States harbored an isolationist stance? Aren't these important for understanding the outbreak of war? Maybe. It depends on who you ask. Some theorists would argue that the imbalance of power between Germany and her neighbors was such that war was virtually assured. It wouldn't matter if Hitler was the leader of Germany or not. Sooner or later, war would break out. But if you're relying only on this theory of imbalance of power, you would only know that war would happen. You wouldn't know how it would happen or when. That's when these other details become more important. But notice that the more you focus on these details, the more specific your theory becomes, and the less you'll be able to explain other cases. As we continue through the semester, you'll find that there is no one-size-fits-all theory. Sometimes one theory may seem more appropriate for a given task than another. That's okay. There is such a wide variety of political phenomena that we need to use different theories to understand how different processes work. So to wrap up, keep in mind that theories only simplify reality. The simpler the theory is, the more powerful it is, because the wider the variety of cases you can apply it to, but the less detail you'll get. Conversely, the more specific your theory is, the more detailed your analysis might be, but it may be less applicable across a wide variety of cases. Theories don't always work under all circumstances, so they often make assumptions. These assumptions may not always seem realistic, but they help us isolate important processes from less relevant ones. Finally, remember that a theory may not always apply in all situations, even if the assumptions don't explicitly say so. Sometimes it may be useful to use other theories to get a better understanding of what's really driving a particular process. This may all sound rather abstract, but it will all become clearer when we start analyzing actual theories. That's it for today. Until next time, this is John Chow for The Concept.
You've been listening to The Concept, a supplementary podcast for Political Science 120A, Introduction to International Relations, taught at the University of California, Berkeley by Professor Steve Weber, with teaching assistants Abe Newman, Lindsay Maka, John Chow, Andre Krikovich, and Crystal Chang. The Concept is written, produced, and narrated by John Chow. The music was written by Rudy Vesup.